All right, perfect. The material for today can be found at this location or this link. So today I'm going to use a lot of tiny URL. Hopefully that will be easier for you to keep track of the information. Where's my chat button? And I am pasting the link into the chat box. So tinyurl.com/Perkins 0918, which is today. So in this folder, you will see handout number one, which is the 6 data element and the data sources. Handout number 2, data source description. Handout number 3 is the sample process, which we're gonna discuss later what it means. And then the PowerPoint for today, this presentation will be uploaded later. And oh, by the way, I haven't introduced myself yet. In case you don't know, my name is Hai Huang, and I am one of the researchers, in the research office. I'm here today to show you where to get this data and to talk about the Perkins data elements. And I have a request from Leslie. All right. So Leslie, let me know if you receive the link and you can see the folder.
Okay, yeah, this is just a very not deaf friendly setup is the problem. I'm seeing them on separate screens. So I'm wondering if, I don't know what to do because I'm looking at the interpreter and then looking at this separately. So it's really. I'm wondering if we could do like a pop out or something. I don't know. It's really hard for me to follow the interpreter while I'm following this training.
I wonder, I could be wrong, but maybe you can use the pin video features. So maybe go to the top right corner of the interpreter.
Yeah, but whenever I do that, and if then, I pin the interpreter, then I can't see all of the things that you're sending on the chat. So I have to look separately, and then I'm missing what the interpreter's saying. That's the problem.
I see.
So for now, maybe Leslie, why don't you focus on the presentation? Because the presentation will be available. So you can go back later and you can click on the links and do some of the other things.
Okay.
Thank you, Tina. And sorry about that, Leslie. All right, moving on. So I guess some of you may wondering, so why I am here again, because I guess you are here because you care about student success and because you want to know about the new Perkins data elements. So what are they? Here are the new Perkins requirements. So number one is student performance. So is it about the strength and gap and action item of your, student data, of the performance data. Number two is about program quality. It's about size, scope, quality, and how good we are in terms of meeting those requirements in terms of, let's say, class size, alignment, pathways, the clear pathway between, high school and our current community college program. Number three, labor market needs. So does my program meeting the labor market need? And we will talk more about it later. Progress toward improvement, equity, and assessing number four. So number four, I feel like it should be embedded in each of these. It should be the lens that we're looking at because we are a leading college for equity and excellence. It should be the lens that we look at in everything that we do. Now we also have number five and number six. And the reason why I separate them out here is because for today's focus will not be about five and six. That will be the conversation with your department, with your school and with the district. And I know that Tina also working to get some data on, for example, number six in terms of faculty demographic and recruitment and retention. Now, all of the information will also be available in handout number one. So the next question is, okay, so where are the data? You might wondering where the data then. So here the data. So remember that the four data elements I showed you earlier that we will be focusing on today in blue and in green is where you will get that data. Cross outcome dashboard, launch for, cross outcome dashboard come from the measure dashboard, and then program quality, we can look at it from a catalog, the program website, cross outcome, award dashboard, another measure launch, sorry, another measure dashboard, or maybe some launch board and COE report, and we will talk about this as well. Similarly, labor market need, where you can get it, and we will talk about the supply and demand zone later. And then finally, progress toward improving equity and assets. As I mentioned, it should be the lens that we're looking at everything that we're doing with data. So all of the above and the student characteristic dashboard. Information, all of the information will also be available in handout number one. So let's look at handout number one. So handout number one is just like what we've seen earlier with the six data element, and then the source of where you can get that data element, and then the description of each. So keep in mind that this is just a suggestion of the things that you can talk about or what it means. So this is not everything that you can talk about. And perhaps the most important thing here to get the idea of you what you can talk about and where you can get those data. All right, thank you, Katie. Any questions so far? All right, let's move on. So the agenda today is I will show you measure dashboard, then the launch board, then Center of Excellent Resources. They have a lot of wonderful resources that you know, many of us are not aware of. And then finally, if we have time, we're gonna talk a little bit about CTEOS. So Mesa dashboard, think of it as our local database. It's produced by Mesa Resource Office. Launch board, think of it as the statewide database. It's produced actually by district IT, who compiled the information and send it along to the state every, you know, couple months. So Mesa data, or maybe local data, statewide data. Now Center of Excellence overall, it is regional data, but with a focus on employment information or any aspect that has to do with, you know, employment and labor market. Now CTEOS is short for CTE Outcome Survey. It is a supplement of the employment data, and more detail about this later. I will go through each of them, and also the description of each is also in handout number two. All right, with that, let's move on to Mesa dashboard. Now, there are three ways that you can get to Mesa dashboard. Now, some of you are very familiar with this because I have showed this before in the screen. You can go to the Mesa website, click on About, click on Institutional Effectiveness, click on Institutional Research, or click on Data Warehouse. That's a lot of click. Or I actually have created a short link for you, which is this one, tinyurl.com/Mesa dashboard. So if you, you know, tap here or click on this, it will lead you to this location. So these two are exactly the same. It's a different version of it. Now you can also search on a website by going to sdmesa.edu. Everyone know that, right? And then in the top right corner, search for dashboard. Then click on the first link that called Data Dashboard in the search result, and that's it. So there are different ways for you to get to the Mesa dashboard. Hopefully you can, you know, pick whichever most easier for you. Personally, I feel that a lot of people would do this, right? Because it's everyone know about our website. Now, when you get to the dashboard, you will see we have a lot of dashboard, and we spend a lot of time and effort building these. Hopefully that will be useful for people. But for most people and for perking purposes, your primary tool will be the highlighted over here, the course outcomes, the awards dashboard, and the student characteristics. And the description of it also in, I believe, handout number 2 as well. That's right. And in addition to that, there's also a guide for equity-minded reflection over here on the top right corner, on the top left corner. So you can use it as a guide as you go through each of the dashboard or any of the dashboard. So I highlight these 3 because those are the most relevant to our work, but feel free to use any other dashboard that we have over here or any other resource that you assume that, that you feel that relevant to your work or to Perkins. So in the handout number 2, these are the description of each dashboard. I create a short summary of what it means or what they can do. It may not be a complete picture of what the dashboard can do, but it gives you an idea, a rough idea of what it means or what it do. So course outcome basically give you the outcomes by course or by section or by program. And by outcome, I mean success rate, retention rate, GPA. Now, award, some people are actually a little bit confused about it because it's a name that they think they see about scholarship, but actually not. Award actually talking about the degrees and certificate given at Mesa. Now, what also interesting in the award is that we also have the efficiency tab, basically show you information about how long it takes for you to earn a degree, for example, an associate degree, by year, by number of active terms, by unit earned. We also have the characteristic dashboard that show you a variety of student characteristics with, you know, full-time starter, military, DSBS, former foster youth, and etc. So most of the information here can also be disaggregated at the course level, program level, and school level. Once again, it will be in handout number 2. Any questions so far? All right. So a kind of like an update and some sort of disclaimer I have right here is that we are also, you know, at the final stage, I would say, of the transition to Campus Solution. And we know that Campus Solution had many modules like the human resources, I believe it's called PeopleSoft, or the financial aid, or maybe the student-facing module. So those had the, you know, highest priority and has been pretty much completed and working really well. While at the same time, there are modules that are still being built and verified. Unfortunately, one of the modules that is still being verified and being built right now is the research database. So in other words, many of the information you see in our dashboard right now will be from spring 19 and earlier because we don't have reliable data yet starting from summer 19. And summer 19 is the time point where we start transition to the new data system. So, and just to be clear that this issue affects the whole district, not just at Mesa, and our, you know, student service programmer and IT and, oh, actually this is IT, not it. And IT are working really hard to, you know, to improve the our data system. Now, Perkins also have new special population and conversation about how to best capture those also going on across the district. So once that information is verified, they will be available in the Mesa dashboard as well, and we will let you know. So that is a quick update on the current status. All right, moving on now. I'm gonna do a demo of a Mesa dashboard. So let me open the web browser. Oh, by the way, this is the folder that I was talking about earlier where you can see handout number 1, handout number 2, and handout number 3. So let's look at a Mesa dashboard. And I was telling you earlier that you can put in tinyurl.com/mesa dashboard. and that will lead you to our dashboard. So here's the equity minus reflection that I'm talking about. And here are the three dashboards. Oh, can everyone still see my screen? Yes, thank you. So here are the three dashboards that will be most relevant to Perkin Worlds. Thank you.
If you could enlarge.
So for today's purpose. Yes. For today's purpose, I'm gonna focus on the course outcome dashboard. So click on that. So let me zoom in a little bit. So in most of our dashboard, when you click on it, there will be an intro page. On the first page, explain some data element there. So we're talking about, you know, on the definition, the filters, and the equity gap section analysis. And the definition, what does it mean by success? What does it mean by retention and other stuff? So, and then there will be a lot of tabs, sometimes three, sometimes two, sometimes maybe more than five, as we have over here. And each tab will consist of, you know, different way of looking at information. For example, we're looking at outcome trend, because this is a trend. It gives you the idea of how it looks like over time. Definition of trend, right? For example, what we're looking at right now is course success rate by academic year. And here's the filter that we talk about. Sometimes the filter, you have to click on it in order to see the rest of it. For example, over here, click on it in order to see the rest of it. Click on it in order to see the rest of it. Or it's already, you know, label everything down for you and you just tick it. For example, let's say I only care about African-American. I'm gonna untick all and then tick African-American. And it will show you the success rate by academic year for African-American. Now, I understand that for some of you, this is, you already know some of this, so sorry about that. Hopefully there will be something new toward the end of the section for you. So thank you for your patience. So African-American success rate overall around 63, 62, 63, 63, 63 over the years from 14 to 18. And overall on the average around 63. So that's one way for you to do the filter. Now you can also select a different metric. For example, you may ask yourself, what is the average GPA for our MESA student? And you will do that, you will be able to do that by selecting program GPA right here. And it will show you that on average, the GPA for our student is 2.7. You can also do that by terms. And as you can see, it go up and down, go up and down. Now, does anyone have any hypothesis why the GPA keep going up and down? Anyone wanna take a crack at that? So we are looking at term, right? And yes. Because if we're looking at semester base, and we know that in the summer, we have slightly different student population. Maybe the student, and generally the student who tend to do better in the summer, though kind of like the, you know, most hardworking student, or even sometimes we have some UC or SDSU student who come to MESA taking classes here. So that's why, as you can see, usually it's kind of hard to see, but it says summer over here, and also say somewhere over here, and also somewhere over here, or intersection over here. So usually the student in intersection or somewhere tend to do better than in a regular semester because it's a special population. Not the special population in the definition Perkin, but because they are, you know, tend to student who do better. Now similarly, you can also do, you know, outcome by course, where you can also looking at terms, course-lizer, and program. Now, you may, for example, under course licensor here, there we have many different options right here. And I'm going to pick one, for example, modality. And I'm asking myself, so what is the success rate by modality? in-person versus online versus hybrid? Can, does anyone want to show what do they see from this graph? Let me zoom in a little bit. What do we see here in terms of success rate by modality? Anyone?
In person.
Yes, what about in person? Tell me more about that.
Oh, well,
so we have,
looks like they're doing more successful in person. In the
yes,
course.
That's right. Yes.
The yellow line, is that the standard or average?
Yep, that's the average. So as you can see, so notice that if you hover over in many of our dashboards, you will see a pop-up message that give you the count, you know, success count, retention count, enrollment count, and etc. So for example, in order to compute success rate, we were looking at success count as the numerator and enrollment as the denominator, and we divide it, we get around this number. So thank you for asking the question about the orange line. I forgot to mention that. Notice how it's the same across on 372. That is, this is the campus success rate overall, regardless of modality. So if someone asks you, hey, what is the average success rate at Mesa? That's it. Your answer would be 72%. Now, as you can see right here, in person, success rate actually is 74%, so that's 2% higher than the overall campus average. Online, actually lower than the campus average. Hybrid, even lower. So that'd be interesting, right? So why do hybrids actually the lowest here? I think one may think that probably, I mean, some people may argue that online may be the lowest, but actually hybrid is the lowest. So we may come up with different theory about here, about why hybrid is the lowest. And that's just one way for you to do the analysis. Now this one, I'm looking at the home campus. And if you scroll down over here, we have many, many different courses and programs over here that you can, you know, look at. You can also select the filter that I mentioned earlier, or you can look at the program. And you know what? I'm going to pick on accounting because it's the first one on the list. As you can see for accounting, we probably see almost the same trend that in-person is doing better than campus average. And then online hybrids are doing online hybrids are doing a little bit less than the average. So you can also narrow it out by program. And obviously you can also look at different things, for example, time of day. Would time of day tend to do the best in terms of success rate? Or you can also look at retention rate or GPA over here. So there's a lot of things that you can do. Now I want to talk about, spend some time talking about equity gap and demographic. So equity gap, let's looking at the home campus again by selecting all in here across all terms. Notice again, the reference line is orange. Also the overall campus success rate 72 that we have seen earlier. Notice that we have green and red over here. So red basically meaning that there's an equity gap for this group. So overall at a campus level, female tend to do better compared to male. Female 74%, male 72% success rate. That's why the average is 72. And so we try to make it as easy as possible for you to identify equity gap. And by the way, equity gap is, I have an interesting question from Christine, and I will address that later. Thank you for that. Equity gap analysis, I mean, what I would try to do here to make it very clear and easy for you to show, to know which group experienced some equity gap by looking at the red. Red basically means we need to work on that, and green basically means, oh, we didn't feel good on that. For example, looking at initially, you see that the biggest red bar over here is from African American. So on average, they are 9% less than the campus success rate. And let's see, which group is doing really well? The Asian group is doing really well. The white group is doing really well, which is kind of what we expected, right? But I think a more interesting analysis that maybe I will have you do later, maybe to look at this, maybe but at a program level, for example, look at term level, or you want to be more detailed, you can go back to this one, outcome by course, and looking at by different disaggregation, by time of day, modality, etc. Now, I want also want to, you know, keep everyone, be remind everyone that we should be mindful about our data. That, you know, data are just number, and number won't make sense without the context. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that data without context is meaningless. And an example I usually give people is that I am 5'7" in height. And you may go, okay, so what? So let's say if I go to a buffet and, you know, the front desk guy gonna be looking at me and say, oh, you know what, you are too tall, you have to pay the full price, the adult price. You cannot pay the kid price. You know, in some of the restaurants, they use your height as a determinant of how much you pay for admission rate, right? So in that context, I will be too tall and I have to pay, you know, more money because I'm not a kid anymore based on height. Now, in another context, I'm telling you, I am 5'7". The average man height in the U.S. is how much? Can anyone guess? What is the height of the average man in the U.S.?
6 feet?
Close. 5'9". Good guess. So in the context of the U.S., I am actually shorter than the average because I'm 5'7", and the U.S. average height for men is 5'9". So in that context, I am shorter than the average. So I'm kind of blame my parents for this because, you know, 80% of our height is determined by our genes. So I'm a little bit upset about that. But in another context, I'm telling you, I am 5'7", and I'm from Vietnam. I came here when I was like 19 years old. So like 12 years ago, something like that. And the average man height in Vietnam is 5'5". So actually, I am above average if you're taking into the context of, you know, being in Vietnam or my ethnicity, Vietnamese. So you see the point I'm making right here? Mm-hmm. 5'7", the numbers stay the same, but different context, different meaning. So data only have meaning in the context. Otherwise, it doesn't have any meaning. It's just number. So if you're looking at the age, we see that with an equity gap right here, 18 to 24. What does it mean? Some people might say that, is that truly an equity gap? Because this is community college student and we tend to serve, you know, an older or non-traditional student. So it is kind of expected. Well, you can argue that. So the point I'm trying to make is that you are the contextual expert. You know your program, you know your class, you know your student. And the meaning of the data depends on how you interpret it based on the information that you have. So keep in mind, you are the data expert. All right, with that being said, let's go back to our presentation. Now, moving on, I wanna talk about something else, that is the launch ball. So we know earlier that MESA is local data, right? And launch ball is statewide data. And here's a, you know, brief information about what launch bar is, also in handout number two. So launch bar is a central kind of like data system that consisting of performance data, employment data, which we don't have in our MESA dashboard, earning outcome for both CTE and non-CTE. Now, another thing that we don't have in our dashboard that is that launch bar has, that is they have information at the regional level, at the sector level, and also at the statewide level so that we can compare. Similar to earlier, you can, here's the full link for launch ball. And I also create a short link for you, hopefully that easier for you. That would be tinyurl.com/cccLaunchBall. Let's see. So for many of the Perkin data purposes, information can be found in the following two places. That is Community College PyLife and Strong Workflow Program. So Community College Pipeline, my understanding is that this is the most comprehensive database that we have right now. It has everything. Cross-offering, performance, student characteristic, and enrollment outcomes. Now, Strong Workforce Program, you know, Strong Workforce is a really important initiative right now in the state of California. So that's why it has their own separate place in the launch board. Now, Strong Workforce Program is actually a subset of Community College Pipeline with a focus on strong workforce metrics. I think we have, I forgot, maybe 5, 6, 7 different metrics. So this is basically Community College Pipeline, but the focus is on Strong Workforce Program. And both you can disaggregate at different levels as well. So with that being said, let's move on to a launch board demo. Sorry, any questions so far? All right. Where is my browser? As I mentioned earlier, I'm gonna go to tinyurl.com, right? And then I'm gonna put in CCCLAUNCH launch board. And enter, it will take you to launch board, California Community College. There's many other dashboard over here. Just like mentioned, they also have more than one dashboard. Student success metric, California adult education, K-14 C2E transition, and many other stuff, and also data pathways. So our focus, and let me say it again, for us, the most relevant to us will be Community College Pipeline or Strong Workforce Program. So let me try this. Click on this. So let's see what we can do with it. I'm gonna zoom out a little bit. So as you can see, we have Programmer Sector over here. And similar to the dashboard measure, right? You click on that, it will give you a drop-down list and we'll see many options right here. You can see all, or you can see, by the way, this is only CTE program because this is Strong Workforce. And you can look at it by sector right here. Education, health, global trade, etc. You can look at it by top four right here. And if you keep scrolling down, you can also look at it by top six right here, top six level. And here's a very important one, statewide, macro region, micro region, district, and college. So there are various of level that you can look at. And the year, and you can look at drilled out by, you know, this is something new. I did not see this before, that they have something about Perkins over here, but I kind of doubt if the data is fully populated yet, but we can take a look later. And here are the strong workforce metrics. It related is to Perkins because some of it is helpful information for us. For example, we can have an idea of how many students who earn a degree or certificate over here, how many student transfer. That's another performance outcome that we can talk about in terms of, you know, data element number one. Job related to the field of study. That's another, you know, labor market information. I believe that's element number three. Median annual earning and median change in earning, something like that. All right, so another very cool thing that you can do that people tend to miss is comparison. Right here. If you click on comparison, it actually pop up another tab right here. Now you can select it. For example, I'm gonna compare, let's see, Mesa, San Diego Mesa College with our micro region. So I'm gonna select micro region over here and I'm gonna select, let's see, San Diego Imperial. Actually, I don't want to look at all CTE program. I'm going to looking at, let's see, I'm going to pick one. Accounting again. On CTE program, I'm going to looking at, where's my accounting? Accounting. Now, information here, usually 2 years delay, almost 1 or 2 years delay. So just for demonstration purpose, I'm going to select 1718, 1718, and then click view. Let's see what happens. All right, I'm going to scroll down. Looks like it's done. So instead of one line that we see earlier, now we got two lines. And there is a legend over here, San Diego Mesa College in blue, and San Diego Imperial Accounting in yellow. So since some of this information, it makes sense to compare, you know, between local and region, but sometimes it doesn't quite make sense. For example, we're looking at the number of students, obviously at the region level, it should be a lot higher than us, right? So it giving you an idea, but it doesn't really help in that case because we already know that. Now, something would be more interesting is when talking about proportion. The proportion of students who successfully complete 9 or more career education semester unit, blah, 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 blah. So in term portion wise, we actually doing better, right? The blue line is higher than the orange line. So we're actually doing better than the region. So that's a good job right there. And students who attend a non-credit work for milestone in single year, unfortunately, we don't have MESA data for that. So that is the downside for some of the, you know, statewide data. Sometimes we don't have data. Let's see what else. Student who earn a degree, again, if you're looking at overall count, it doesn't really help us that much. That because obviously the regions have a lot more by numbers. Now here's another numbers. Here's another proportion. And okay, this is another interesting one. Median annual earning for accounting. So San Diego Mesa, we doing really well right here. We kind of dip a little bit over here, but then we go up again. So that's good news. And the region pretty much stable. So that's one way that you can do. And obviously you don't have to do micro region. You can do macro, you can do statewide, or you can do, you know, district, or comparing with a different college, for example, like Crossmont or Miramar. So there's a different option right here. So that is short workforce program. Now, similarly, let me go back to this, back to, I'm going to looking at, oops, not too much. Let me go down again. You don't have to worry about this. Where's my launch bar? Right here. All right, going back to the page that I showed you earlier. So we're looking at Shongo for program, right? So let's look real quick at community college pipeline. Now, community college pipeline has a lot more information. For example, I'm looking at statewide. Let's looking at the first one, advanced manufacturing. And similar like earlier, you can, I believe you can also do a comparison over here. Right here, you can also do a comparison. So statewide, looking at the number of student, economic disadvantage, success, and obviously they don't have employment and earning because it's too new. So let's look at 17-18. And 17-18. So we have more information right here. And you can also click on that. For example, I'm gonna click on view employment over here for a more detailed view. So this is a snapshot overall view. But if you click on any of this, it provides you a more detailed look at what is happening. And the student get a job, blah, 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 blah. And the most common middle skill job are this. In terms of employment and certificate and etc. You can also click on more detail, even further detail. And this is where we can see the comparison between advanced manufacturing and the rest of the program, and own program, right here, two line. And you can see employing second fiscal, first fiscal, became employing many other aspects. So here's another also interesting that I want to show. Actually, let's look at a college. Let me looking at Mesa again. And by the way, back in the day, we cannot search for it, so it took forever to find a college, but now it's a lot better comparing to and I'm gonna pick business. business. So I'm looking at Mesa business 1718 comparing to statewide business 1718. Just curious to see what happened. Uh-oh, looks like we don't have any of that information yet. Oh, here we go. So let's looking at, I want to show you, nope, no information yet, unfortunately. I wonder why it doesn't show up over here. Maybe advanced manufacturing. I have, let me go back.
It says something about the top five colleges. Do you see that?
Yes. So I'm surprised it didn't show me the top five I was able to. So let me refresh this. All right, and let me do it again.
The top five?
Yeah, I saw that, but I clicked on that, but nothing showed up, which is interesting. All right, that looking at help. 1718 San Diego Mesa view, and then I'm gonna click on employment. Maybe they don't have data for employment, maybe. And then detailed data, and then most effective program, top five employment rate. Oh, here we go, it show up now. So I'm looking at health sector at San Diego Mesa 1718, and here's the top five college for employment rate. So where is Mesa?
They're not there.
Why is it not here? Interesting. All right, so the top five, oh, maybe, oh, I guess because we are not the top five, that's why it's not showing up. So the highest is Crossmont and then followed by Southwestern. Okay, now we know which one is the top five. So that's one thing that you can do with the information. All right. Let me go back to my slide. Here's some tip that I showed you two data sources, right? So, but then data can also come from other sources. For example, conversation with your advisory group, conversation with your student. Maybe you do your own in-class survey or in-class research. Maybe some other report that you found, maybe from the association of your or your professional industry. So pick a source, but then make sure that you document your process. For example, if it comes from a advisory group telling you that you need equipment A, sorry, let me say that. It comes from you have a conversation with your advisory group and they say that, you know what, it would be really great if you can train your student on how to use this particular equipment. And you put that into your Perkin request, that you need that equipment. So to make sure that you capture that conversation with that advisory group in the meeting minutes. So documentation is really important for Perkins because Perkin 5 is highly data driven and then they're kind of moving toward the accountability as well. And also to in case we get, you know, audit later as well. So make sure you document your process. Here's one way for you to document your process is by using, you know, Word document and screenshot. And I'm actually gonna show you an example of that, which let me open up right here. Again, this is just one example. You don't have to follow the exact step, but if you can, it'd be awesome. For example, I'm looking at student performance. So I'm gonna open a Word document and I'm gonna put in the source of where I find the information. I find the information, the course outcome dashboard and outcome by course. And then the filter I use is I select modality, I select Fall 18 and Spring 19. Notice that when you select more than one term, it doesn't quite show over here. So that's why it is helpful for us to, you know, document that and capture that. I select English for RAM, I select African American. You can also do it a step further if you want to by screenshot it, which Mimi and Tina would appreciate this. And even further for a A++ student or professor or faculty is that highlight the one that you're gonna work on. I mean, you don't have to it's just an example. And then here's where, you know, you talk about your observation or your action. And this is just an example. So obviously, I mean, we should not make a conclusion based on, let's say, hybrid, but only one class. So be careful with interpretation. So this is one example of what you can do. Documentation, filter, screenshot, example of the thing that you can do. And I think this can be really helpful in the future because we are, you know, Tina told me that sometimes she tried to replicate some of the data in the application and she was unable to do so. Now, mind you, that Tina know the data really well. She's present at every single data section that we did before. So she know what she doing, but somehow she was unable to, you know, replicate the data report by faculty. Maybe faculty are using a different source of data, but it's not well documented. And that can be problematic if we get audited in the future. As I mentioned, Perkins is moving toward accountability model. So think of it as documentation is important for accountability purposes, but also I want you to think about it in terms of improvement as well. So we cannot improve if we don't measure or if we don't record it or we don't record it. So how do we know if we don't record it, then how do we know if there's an improvement, right? Now imagine if you do this today without documenting it. Next year, when you apply for Perkins again, we may ask you that tell us about the funding that you got the previous year and what was the outcome that, you know, from that funding. So we may ask you that in the Perkins application. But then you may not remember what filter that you use because there's a lot of information out there and there may be more than one data source. So I think documentation actually helpful for you as well in terms of knowing whether or not there is a improvement. And I know deep down inside each of you care a lot about student success and student outcome. So one way to do to document is to use Microsoft Word and use a screenshot. Microsoft Word and screenshot. All right, now we talk about the sample process, and I know I've been talking a lot. And actually another, you know, skill that I learned during, working at home in the last few months is that I'm actually really good at reading people's mind. I know some of you are thinking, wow, this is super cool. I cannot wait to try it out now. Well, I hear you. So here we are. We are doing a breakout group. So let's see what's the time right now. I'm thinking about maybe 20 minutes, right? So, oh, by the way, I put the, icon here so that I can remind people that take a picture of this so that you can see this, so that you know which question that you can work on maybe when you get into the breakout group, because you will not be able to see my screen. So what are we doing? 20 minutes breakout group. We are at 11 right now. So first thing is that hopefully you can identify a note taker and reporter and timekeeper. It can be one person. It can be two people. It's up to you. And maybe spend 2 minutes on that. Don't spend too much time because we don't have a lot of time right here. Right. And then if you keep arguing about who should be a note taker, or you keep fighting about who should be a note taker, then I don't know, maybe the last one who touched the nose, or maybe who has the most recent birthday, for example. So after that, pick a data tool that you want to work on. A Mesa Dash, a Launchpad Dash, I showed you earlier. Here's the link to them. Tiny URL, blah, 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 over here. So take a picture of this, by the way. I got some requests on the room. Okay, got that. And then explore the information there individually or as a group. You can take note or use any handout as needed. And then discuss as a group about how you are going to use it for Perkins. So this is, I think 3 and 4 is the most important one. So make sure you spend some good time to talk about that. Then you will be brought back here automatically after maybe 20 minutes for show. Is that 20 minutes enough for folks, or would you like more time?
It's plenty.
All right, 20 minutes. So now I'm going to put people into groups. So in the meantime, go ahead and explore the launch board and make a dashboard why I am, you know, assigning people into groups, because we have some special requests over here. And by the way, let me put a link to the handout again so that you see it too. Bigger, bigger, bigger. All right, so I have here the link for launch for dashboard, for Mesa dashboard, and also for the handout. And I am working on assigning people into groups. All right, everybody ready? And hopefully, you know, someone already take a picture of the screenshot. And everyone ready? Off you go then.
Hi, you made sure you sent the interpreters with Leslie?
Yes, that actually took me a while to figure out because I have to move before around.
I just wanted to check because that's kind of an important detail. Yeah. Hey, great
thank
job
you for
so
inviting.
Far.
Thank you. I feel like I bore a lot of folks. I feel like a lot of folks already know a lot of this. Am I still recording? I can't even. All right, maybe group number one, what did you learn?
I'll go for it. I was in group number one. This is Blythe, and I'm from dance. I think the one thing that we looked a little bit at that comparison tool, and that was interesting to see where we were and where our district was within the larger scope, comparing to state levels, especially because then we saw a larger comparison. We tried just going one bigger size region, but the numbers were really similar. So going for the macro, and that was interesting. We also found out that if we chose our area of focus, we were looking at sign language. So if we chose sign language interpreting and then the region, it wiped out the sign language. So we wanted to choose the region first and then put in the topic of focus. Oh, yeah. So that was a little, but we figured, you know, some little hint moving forward. And sign language is on the rise. So that was cool to see. Steady numbers going up.
Awesome.
Yep. Yay.
anybody else from the group would like to chime in anything? I am trying to make it bigger. All right, what about group number two?
I can talk. We looked at our foster youth, which all of us were quite interested in because we hadn't seen that data before. And we just compared it across the years to our programs. And each one of us we pulled up each one of our programs, and we were all shocked to see the different numbers of foster youth in our programs and what, you know, just, it gives us a good insight to maybe possibly doing some better outreach or understanding of that in the future. So it was nice to have that data, and we used the MESA dashboards.
And which dashboard is that, Holly? Can you tell everyone?
You know, which one was it?
You look at?
Janelle was
the button. Yeah, it was the, special, I think I still have it up. Hold on.
student characteristics.
Yes, thank you. Student characteristics, yes. Dashboard.
Yeah.
It's the student characteristics. So let me go back to that. That will be, tiny URL, MESA dashboard, and the one that Holly to talk about is this one, student characteristics dashboard. Okay. All right, so going back to my presentation, thank you for sharing out. I am moving on to the next resource that I would like to talk about, which is Center of Excellence. So as I mentioned earlier, Center of Excellence is the research center that focuses on labor market information. So the idea behind Center of Excellence is that there are, I believe, 7 centers from around the state, you know, being put at a different location from around the state so that it can provide regional information in terms of labor market for that particular region. So they have many different interesting resources and very helpful resources that many of us, usually not aware of. For example, you can look at study by region, you can look at their report by sector, program recommendation, and the demand and supply tool as well. So if you go to their website, pay attention to the study by region on the top right corner and select San Diego. And then also on the front page where is also where you can find the supply and demand tool. More information about Center of Excellence can also be found in handout number 2. With that being said, now I'm gonna show you the website. Okay. Let me make it a little bit bigger and go to, so the website for Center of Excellence is coecc.net. So basically it is Center of Excellence, California Community College.net. So here we are, make it bigger. I feel like I, there we go, and make it bigger. All right, he is the website. As I mentioned earlier, here's the study of a region. Here's some tool for you underneath. A very important one is supply and demand tool. And actually, I'm gonna click on this one for supply and demand tool. And some of you are probably familiar with this because I showed this before at last semester. So now we have supply and demand, labor market information. This is the demand spreadsheet. And this is supply. Supply basically mean, you know, outcome over here as well. Oh, okay. So if you click on download it, it will give you the Excel spreadsheet, and I already downloaded it. And let me open it. Just something I want to show you real quick. For example, the demand file. And it is still loading. So 1 second, my Excel is really slow today. All right. Can everyone still see my screen? All right, thank you. So one thing that that kind of tricky, it's hard to see is that when you open the Excel file, this is what you will see first. And then notice that on the very top, we have this protected view. So you have to click enable editing in order for you to do the thing that you want to do in this spreadsheet. So click on that. Sometimes it may ask you about enable macro as well. So right here. And by default, you know, Excel, Microsoft Office will turn it off because they're afraid that, you know, there's some programming code behind, they may steal your information. But in this case, we believe Center of Excellence, so we're gonna click enable content. So when you open the file, pay attention to the top corner and just say yes and enable. And now you can actually edit in the file now. So to use the file, you can always obviously read the description over here. And then also data definition and how to interpret right here on the information right here. Now to use it, it's pretty straightforward, almost like a dashboard, but in Excel format, which is kind of neat. I'm gonna select the region, California. And actually I'm gonna select San Diego and Imperial region. Notice how when I select it, things happening over here and things change a little bit. And in the sub-region, San Diego. Sorry, let me zoom in a little bit, make it easier for folks. So select region, select the sub-region, and then select a county, for example, San Diego. And then where I can select the occupation. And on the list right here, and things that blur out, meaning that you cannot select it, meaning it's not applicable to this region, for example, choreographers. So let me select one, microbiologist, I don't know, just curious. And let me go up to see if we have any. So we have some over here, and it indicates that microbiology is a high school, not a low school, not a middle school, so let me, oh, by the way, when you navigate this, notice at the top right corner right here, there's a button. It's a clear filters. So click on that in order to reset it. Now you can also search by occupation, or you can also search by skill. For example, I'm only interested in middle skill only. Then the list will blur out and only the middle skill will be highlighted. For example, I'm gonna look in at, let's see, something else. Actor, just curious. Let's find something with more data. There we go. Admin services manager is a middle skill in San Diego area. And entry level require typically bachelor degree, employment estimate, projected year employment estimate, and the change in the need, I believe. And you can read more about the data definition for each of this and what does it mean under here. And the percentage change, average annual job opening, and a median hourly, median annual. So one way for you, and oh yeah, you can also look it by occupation group over here. For example, I'm looking at, I'm gonna reset this. I am gonna look at healthcare. And all of the occupation in the region will be available here. I wonder when it was last update. It looks like 219. So it's fairly new. And for if you select this major occupation, as you can see, that we got two different skills right here. You can select low skill or you can select middle skill. So I'm gonna select middle skill for now. And let's see, dental assistant we have over here. Information about median hourly, median annual, average job opening, and etc. The bottom is also too. Oh, occupational therapy assistant, physical therapy assistant. So some information here will be useful for folks. So that is the occupation demand Excel file. Where you can find it, it will be in coeccc.net and on the first page on the homepage. So if you go to the website and then right here, supply and demand table, and download it and use it as an Excel file. So that's number one. Another thing I want to show you for this really, fascinating website that if you go, sorry, let me go back again. If you go to study by region and then click on San Diego Imperial, where you can see a lot of report, and usually I think the latest one will be populated here, but click on view more. This is where you will find the contact information of the director, Tina Ngo. She's awesome. And here's all of the report that they have. So this is what I'm talking about. For example, let's look at program recommendation in our area that published in May. So I'm gonna click on one of this and then scroll down. So here's the program recommendation for automotive service technician and mechanics that basically overall is a big summary gap over here on the first page. Is it a supply gap in this? Yes. Is it at an above living wage? At above, correct. Number of institutions that provide training, quite a minimum number of institutions. Annual job opening high, expected level of education, some colors and certificates. So it's a pretty comprehensive report. I would say if you can find a report in your program or in kind of a related occupation to your program, I would say definitely use the report because it's quite a lot of interesting information, even with the projected, you know, job hiring as well. And online job posting information. So very good labor market information and projected income. Also in terms of where is it being offered, top six and the college, and then also awards. Information from this in the award information over here actually is similar to the launch board that we showed you earlier. So the COE took information from the launch board and then compiled it in this report. Also demand and supply, similar to the Excel sheet that we have seen earlier. Is that supply gap or oversupply right here? So a lot of fascinating information here. Oh, look at this, even have skill set. So I think this would be helpful in terms of knowing what the industry require, and so that we can better prepare student for the specialized skill, the technical skill, the soft skill, or the software skill. This may be very helpful for program planning if you want to modify your curriculum and et cetera. So there you go, that's one report. Sorry, any questions so far?
Yeah, can you get us back to this dashboard one more time?
Yes. Sorry, the dashboard, you mean the website?
Yeah, the COE website. How do we get to that one?
Yeah. Yeah, so here's the link. Sorry, let me put the link in the chat. And also the link will be in the PowerPoint and in the handout number 2 as well. COECCC.net, Center of Excellence, CCC.net. So this one website would consist of information for the whole 7 region. Right here and the statewide. So make sure that you select San Diego Imperial. I mean, feel free to look at other area if you would like to, but for me, I'm gonna look in the San Diego and Imperial region. And I also want to show you some very cool new report, but for example, resilient job. I'm gonna click on that So what is a resilient job? So in response to the COVID-19 crisis, they analyze the job that appear to be resilient toward the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's really cool. So what jobs survive in this economy? And let me scroll down a little bit so that we can see better. Stable content, blah, 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 finding, and then more information about how do they define it, how do they get the data, and how do they come up with this. So recession resilient middle skill job. And this is your definition of how do they come up with this. The criteria for what does it mean by recession resilient. And here they are. So here is the list of the resilient, of the recession resilient and middle skill job in San Diego County. So let's see which one. Secretary and admin seem to do well. They're only negative 4%. And but then nurses are doing well with 12% increase in terms of employment change. I mean, kind of like expected, right, because of COVID. Medical secretary 22%, medical assistant 32%, right? It makes sense in this COVID-19 climate. Software developer also increased. Police officer, fitness trainer, interesting. Even though all of the gym are kind of closed right now, but we have an increase in this. Now, that rather interesting, maybe at home. So, and then there's some other information about resilient job. So that's one report. But I realize we have another 10 more minutes. So let me quickly show you something also very cool. So if you go back to study by regions and you go Imperial again, here's another cool report that a 21st century employability skill. Looks like they have this for Imperial County. Let's see if we have a different one. Maybe this one is the overall region. All right, what are the 21st century employability skill? And here we are. Here are the top 21st century skill. Communication, adaptability, analyzing information, collaboration, initiative, critical thinking, and problem solving. So, and you can go down to see the more breakdown, more detail of what it means. For example, when they're looking at the number of online job posting, the number one skill in the nation that people are looking for a communication skill. So maybe that would be a good question for us when we develop curriculum, when we, you know, design classroom instruction, do we actually target communication skill? Because it looks like employers are clearly looking for that. And notice how between the number one and number two, that's like almost twice as much. And this kind of like roughly similar, but then this one moving from 2 to 1, there's a big difference. So this is very important, according to the research, and then customer service, teamwork, and etc. So there you are, some very helpful report, and you can dig more into that from the Center of Excellence website. All right, let's see what else I have in my spreadsheet. CTE outcome survey, real quick, another, I also, the full link and a short link. As I mentioned, CTE outcome survey is another, as the name has mentioned, the outcome for CTE student. And the main purpose of this is to provide extra information that is not collected otherwise. For example, job in the field of study, we do not collect that information anywhere. So that's why the state is investing in another survey that we send out to students to collect that extra information. So that's the link on the PowerPoint what I gave you earlier. And then it will give you some information about, you know, field of study, employee, how many months it takes to find a job, and etc. And if you go back to C2, the main website, also other information that you can look further, for example, satisfaction way. Is there a relationship between earning and satisfaction based on the survey? And you can also narrow it out by college, right? This data, supposed to have data from all 115 college. Now look at it. It looks like there is a positive relationship between weight gain and satisfaction. That is, the higher the weight gain, the more satisfied you are. I mean, think about it. It kind of like common sense in a way, right? I mean, if you make more money, you're more happy. So anyway, so that one piece of data, and there are other pieces of data you can look at too. That will be the CTOS survey. So, and remember Launchpad I showed you earlier, was it right here? Information from here actually taken from CTOS as well. So technically, if you're looking at the Launchpad, you don't have to look at CTOS, but sometimes, you know, there are other information, or sometimes it's easier for you to go straight here and get information. For example, if you ever care about, program similarity or satisfaction way, something, you can go straight over here as opposed to look for that under under Launchpad. So just different option. But as I mentioned, generally, you don't have to use CTOS as long as you use the Launchpad, because information from CTOS ultimately make it to the Launchpad. So Launchpad is a central statewide database. All right, and I think that will be the end of my presentation for now. But I want to use the last, 10 minutes or so to, we may not have time to go to the breakout group again, but I just want to open the conversation to everyone in terms of to share with people here is that, have you ever revisited the data after you submit your Perkin application? So if yes, what insight did you learn and what did you do next? And if no, how do you plan to revisit the data and how do you know if your program is improving? Any thoughts, reaction, or any plan on this? Okay, how about try this? So you can react by using the yes, no button under the participants icon. So have you ever revisited the data after submitting your application using the yes, no button?
Hi. This is Christine from the PTA program. Why people are doing that.
Yes.
I don't know if Mandy's still on the call, but I'm going to say I know she does. And we have conversations every year, probably several times a year, about what things we've done with Perkins and has it helped or not helped based on this data and how we're going to decide how many students or change things up. So I don't know if she's just being shy, but yeah, she does.
It looks like we have a couple of people doing that. That's awesome. And then if not, how do you plan to revisit your data? Or how do you know if your program is improving? Anyone, shout out.
Hi, it's Holly, I'll talk. When I know that it's, when we're looking at the data, I'm looking at it by the years and comparing it to where we were in the past and see if we're making improvements for the future. And that, okay. Is that a good way to do it?
Or is there a better way to do it?
I think so.
Okay.
Right, comparing the past. And then, assuming you do something in the middle, like in terms of almost like an intervention or the change.
Yeah.
And after that, looking at data again after that.
Changes.
So I think that important, right? So almost like an experiment or a study, we're looking at the outcome before, we think about the change that we are doing, and we have a theory that this change will lead to a better outcome. But then in order to prove the theory right, then we have to look in the data again. So before doing the change and then look at the data again after that. So that is how we know that program is improving. And it's almost like experiment or almost like any, you know, scholar research out there. And then you see that, oh, you know what? The change I'm doing is not really bringing a positive outcome to our student. You know what? So scratch that. Let me do it again. Let me try something else. So you do it again, looking at data again, and then looking at, you know, and the data at the end to see if it make an effect again. So, and in order to do that, let's kind of go back to the conversation that we have earlier is about documentation, right? Know where you capture the data, know where you get the data, because it can be confusing. There's a lot of data sources that you can tap into and capture the information. Oh, actually, that brings you a important point. That is, some of the information you see may be aligning with each other well, but maybe not. Because, for example, for the statewide data for a launch ball, it's produced by IT. Remember, it's by IT, not by researcher. So it's really interesting. By district IT, and go to the state, and then they go through multiple layers before it make it to the launch ball, you know, with different conversion and etc. And so information may be consistent to what you believe or maybe not. So ultimately, you are the data expert. You have, you know, your contextual knowledge, and you make a decision whether or not you should trust the data, whether or not you want to use the data or you want to use a different data source. So if there are more than one source of information, just select one and document it and stick with it so that we can revisit it later. All right, any final question, comments? Thank you, Tina.
Thank you, Hai, for a great presentation today and sharing all these data resources with everyone.
Thank you, it's a pleasure to be here. And I think that would be the end of this. And maybe I stick around in case anyone have any other question for me. And other than that, well, thank you for being here. I know you have many other choices, but you decide to, I don't know, join this meeting and listen to me talking for the next, for the last 2 hours. So thank you. And have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you. Hi.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Bye. Have a good one. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you, Holly.
Hi. I have a question. So yes. When you were at the Center of Excellence, I was looking up our program. And curiously enough, our program doesn't come up in any of the culinary or baking, but the two campuses that were on that Excel sheet, the two campuses that closed are on that for the Center of Excellence. I thought that was interesting that we're not there.
Oh, interesting. Can you show me the process of how you come up with that information again? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so I went to the Excel spreadsheets, and then I went to region. I went to our region.
So can you still see my screen?
Yep.
So San Diego region, right?
And then, and then when you go down and you scroll down, occupations to staff training.
Occupation, okay.
It should be like baking and then chef's training. We actually had nothing.
Actually, I think just a baking. Bakers. Actually, can we, what would be the baker group for that?
I had a different one. I think I was I was down at a different section tab down below. Yes, it's this
I
one.
See.
It's
so this one. I click on this one, reparation and service. So, and then we have chef and head cooks.
Yeah, I'm going to try to bring it up because it's not the one you have. Let me see here. Too many windows open right now.
All right, I'm going to stop the recording.
Bring it up.